We thank you, Lord. Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? When you're in the house, the tabernacle of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. And you know, I believe in my prayer tonight is that His Shekinah glory fill this tabernacle tonight. Just fill it. The Lord showed me that one day He's going to fill the tabernacle with His glory so much that they'll see it for miles around and they'll call a fire department, try to come put out the fire, but it'll be a fire they can't put out.
Amen.
And I'm standing on it and I'm believing it. And I'm not going to give up on it. We'll see it. I know I will. Just like the Lord showed me Scott would be part of this ministry. And Scott said, oh no, I'm not going to be part of that ministry. No way, you bunch of weirdos. I don't want nothing to do with you. We're fanatics. Well, there's number two fanatic right there. Took God 7 years, but there He is. Amen. God wants a thing. He's going to get a thing. Think of that a minute. If God wants a thing, He's going to get a thing. So why fight Him? Why fight? Huh? I told Terry House when he came to my place in Somerville, South Carolina. He had met him on the internet. He'd come over there. And I said, Terry, the Lord sent you here for a reason. Now, you can do it the easy way or you can do it the hard way. Terry chose the easy way. Because, like he said, he tried it the hard way for 17 years. Some people are a little slower than others, you know. Do you know that? But God's going to have it His way. You remember Abraham? Everybody remembers Abraham. God chose Abraham out of all the people because Abraham, all of a sudden, got a brain cell that worked. He's sitting there cutting out his little idols, making his living. And he stepped back to look at it, you know. And one of his servants fell down and began to worship that thing. Oh, Abraham looked and scratched his head and said, that's the dumbest thing I ever saw in my life. I just made that thing. There's got to be a God greater than this that created all things. See, that was the beginning of Abraham's faith. And when he determined in his heart to know that God, that's when God came to him and said, from now on, I'm not going to call you Abram. Now you're Abraham. And God told Abraham to go over here and set up an altar in a certain place. And set that altar up. And he would come and speak with him. And he told Abraham, get up, leave everything, and come over there, and I'll meet with you. You know, Abraham's like a lot of us. He heard the words, but he just didn't seem to put it together. So he went, but he took his wife and his nephew and his father and whoever else he could pull along. He pulled the whole shenanigans with him. Got over there, built his altar, and waited on the Lord. Guess what? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. So he got discouraged. Anybody here ever get discouraged? Huh? And you say, well, Lord, I'm doing what you're telling me to do. Why aren't you here? I'm doing the best I can, Lord. I'm trying to do what you want me to do. How come you're not here? And he gave up and went to Egypt. Egypt being a type and shadow of the world. That's, you know what people do? They give up on the Lord and try to find some way in the world to satisfy their needs. Huh? He went to the world. God got him kicked out of there. So he said, I'll try again. He came back and did it again. God didn't show up. Went to the third time. It was the third time after his father-in-law, whatever it was, died. Lot went off to live in the valley. And Abraham was alone. And he went up alone and built an altar, and God appeared to him. See? God was just waiting for Abraham to do what God told him to do. A lot of time we try to add to what God wants us to do. Do you know that people, it's never changed? It's never changed. I know women that say, Lord, I'll give my life to you if my husband comes to you. Huh? And I know men that say, I'll give my life to you, Lord, if my wife comes to you. Or if my children, or this one, or that one, or that. Yeah. You know, God says, come alone. You have to approach God alone. You don't worry about your children. Or your wife, or your husband, or your boyfriend, or your girlfriend. Or whether you have one or don't have one. Gonna have one, ain't gonna have one. You don't worry about that. You go to God alone. And He meets you alone. And you can't change that. Can't modify it. Your relationship with the Lord is you and Him. Nobody else. You and Him. And that's the only way you can get it right is you and Him. Now, He'll put you in a group. Amen. Because the body is a group. It's not a single person. But to come to Jesus Christ, it has to be alone. Amen. What do you got keyed up?
Stand up and shout it.
You come to Jesus. Come in the night hour or in the day. Get in your closet alone. Praise Him. Worship Him. Give glory unto His name. And just tell Him that you love Him. That you need Him. He knows the rest. He knows every sin you've ever committed. Every thought you've ever thought that's wrong. He just wants you to know that He loves you. He wants you to confess that you've done these things. You don't even have to remember them all. That you're a sinner. And His love will surround you and envelop you and lift you up. He will show you mighty things. You know, Daniel set his heart to know a thing of God. And God immediately sent the answer. Immediately sent the answer to Daniel. But it took 21 days for the answer to get there. Because Gabriel had to battle through the forces of evil that were surrounding Daniel. When Gabriel got there, he said, Oh, Daniel, greatly beloved, favored of God. God had sent me from the moment to set your heart to know a thing. That's the key, folks. That's the key. Jeremiah in prison. Jeremiah in prison, and the Lord came to him and said, You set your heart on me, and I'll show you things that nobody's ever seen before. The Lord Jesus came to me many years ago when I was beside myself. I was crazy. And stupid. But somewhere in that stupidity and craziness of mine, I knew God was real. And I cried out and I said, Lord, if you love me, yeah, that much, just that much love in you for me, then do whatever it takes, even if you have to kill me. And the most amazing thing happened, see, because I was serious. He came and he said, I love you. And he showed me things that even to this day I cannot speak. Partly because they won't come out of my mouth. Partly because I don't have the knowledge and intelligence to describe the things. But I know one thing. He is a mighty God. And He is the Savior of my soul. You know, you look around at one another and you see this one and you see that one. And you look over there and you can see Steve and say, well, I can see why God would want something to do with Steve, you know. Or Ricky Jr. Steve didn't always look like Steve. Huh? Tim wasn't always looking like Tim. Jeff used to have a problem coming to the ministry. He felt he didn't fit in. Right? Didn't fit in with everybody. Nobody fit in with him. God makes us fit. He makes us fit. You don't have to be afraid of the Lord in the work that He does to make you fit, to make you meet for the kingdom of God. He just takes off those things that hinder you. Years ago, the Lord showed me a pine tree down in Florida. Now, down in Florida, you gotta remember, I'm an old Florida boy, flatlander. And He showed me this pine tree, and He said, Richard, what do you see? I said, I see a pine tree. He said, what else do you see? That's all I see. Pine tree. I said, but what else do you see? Well, there's sky. There's ground. He said, no, look at the tree and tell me what you see. I said, Lord, I don't understand. I just see pine tree. He said, what's all that stuff hanging down? I said, oh, that's moss. He said, how come you didn't notice it before? Well, I never saw a pine tree without moss before. I thought all pine trees come with moss. You know, like it's part of the program. Pine tree, moss. Moss, pine tree. And the Lord said, let me show you a thing. And He started pulling the moss off the pine tree. And I noticed that when the moss was pulled off, the light could hit parts of the pine tree it never hit before. the pine tree began to spring new needles, became fuller, richer. He said, you're that pine tree. You are that pine tree. That moss isn't you. It's no more you than it is that pine tree. He says, if you let me, I'll take away the moss. You can become a perfect pine tree. There are things in your life, there are attitudes, there are fears, there are worries, there are anxieties, there are false hopes. False hopes. False needs. False desires. They're not you. They're moss. God wants to remove that so the real you can come forth. Strength and in power and might. In the fullness of His love. Amen. Praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We give you praise and glory. Give you praise and glory. Thank you, Lord. Give me another song. Praise God. Lord, it's here tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Y'all be seated. Got me a new Bible. New Tabernacle Bible. It's a nice little one. You can carry it with me and throw it at you if I have to. I'm always throwing the word at Steve. Steve says, goes into work, got big red mark in the center of his forehead. What happened to you? Got hit with the word. I was reading in Romans today. Just checking out the new Bible to check out the print. You know how we do things, right? Something caught my eye. Down in verse 9. 1. There's a lot of good stuff between verse 1 and verse 9. But this one thing just caught my eye. And I thought I'd share it with you. I'm going to back up to verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. That's so you Yankees will know that Paul was a Southerner. See, that's how we learn to talk. You all. Y'all come back now, yeah? Of course, some of them got a little way out of line. They took it even further south. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. What a compliment. What a statement. You know? Paul thanking God because their faith was spoken of. Notice he didn't say because your works were spoken of. Huh? Didn't say anything about your buildings being spoken of or how you dress. Huh? Or whether you keep the Sabbath as Sunday or keep it as Saturday. Or whether you drink Coca-Cola or coffee or don't, your faith. See, what is faith? Huh? The substance. It's a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things unseen. You know, Scott used to be real heavy in the militia movement. I dabbled in it a little bit just to find out what was going on. And, you know, I like to play with some of the toys. I enjoyed shooting, going out and shooting. But, you know, you can take the biggest, baddest, meanest-looking gun in the world And you can put the biggest, baddest, meanest-looking bullet in that gun if you want to. But if you don't have a primer in that bullet, it ain't going to do anything. Huh? Now, that primer to a bullet is like faith to God's Word. You can have a stack of Bibles. You can build your house out of Bibles. You could actually get them big family Bibles with all the pretty pictures in them and glue them all together and build you a big old two-story house. And you know what? Ain't going to do you a bit of good. Ain't going to do you a bit of good. You can take your big Bible and put it on your coffee table. Or you can build you an altar and put your Bible up there and put a candle on each side of it. Keep it well dusted. Ain't going to do you any good. You can take that Bible and put it on a shelf and let it get dusted. Ain't going to do you any good. You can take that Bible and read it every single day. You can read it from the moment you get up till the time you go to bed. And it won't do anything for you. Nothing. So, Richard, you can't mean that. Yes, I do. I know rabbis. I know rabbis that study the Old Testament from morning till evening and have never learned the most simplest little truth. And that's Jesus is Lord. Spent their whole lives studying, and couldn't see the simplest truth. Jesus is Lord. Amen. See, the Bible without faith to a man or to a woman is nothing. It's just another book. It's another book written by people. But to those who are saved, it is the power of God not just to convert them over into a new creature and make them the children of God, but it's the power of God to do His will. This book is a result of God's will, not man's will. I said earlier, God wants to do a thing. He's going to do it. And He's going to find somebody that will do it and do it the way He wants it done. The devil can't stand that. So God brings about His Word, and the devil brings about a whole bunch of counterfeits to kind of confuse everybody. All you got to do is go back to the one with power. Go back to the one that has the power. The King James. King James was raised up by God for one purpose and one purpose only, to give us the Word. That's all King James was raised up for. And when he'd done that, God said, okay, your job's done. And I thank God that King James did that. I thank God that God had King James do that. But Paul's writing to Romans and he says, he thanks God for their faith. Faith is what everything else works. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac. By faith, the children of Israel ate the Passover. By faith, Joshua crossed the Jordan. By faith, they walked around Jericho. By faith, Rahab protected the spies. By faith, Jacob received a new name. By faith. Faith in the living God and in His ability to do a thing, not in your own ability. We've been talking about this in many different ways, the way to cross over the River Jordan and get into God's promises. Let's take God serious. Don't take yourself serious. Believe His Word. And it starts with just a little faith. A little faith in God. A little faith in Jesus. A little faith in Him doing what He said He'll do. God has given everybody in this tent, and I've said this many times, I'm going to keep saying it, there's nobody in this tent that has less faith than I do. Nobody. There's not a person in this tent that has less faith than me. God has given everybody in this tent the same amount of faith. And some people may sit there and say, well, if that's the case, how come you can heal the sick and I can't? Or how come you've done these things and I haven't? As you see, it's very simple. God gives you the faith, but then it's what you do with it. You take a little bit here and you give it to Mama. You take a little bit more and you give it to Daddy. You give it a little bit more to this friend and to that friend. You put some into the government. You put some into Uncle Sam or the military. You put your faith in all these different things, and one by one they're crashed. They're trashed. So when it comes time to put your faith in God, you just got this little itty bitty little thing there. And you say, here's what I've got left. But you know what? That's enough. That's enough. That's all God needs to work with. You remember that story about the bones in the desert that were all dried up and dead? Huh? God said, let me show you a thing. And He made all those bones stand upright, put flesh and blood on them, and gave them forms and raised every one of them up to be living beings. Do you know what those dry bones were, Steve? That's your faith when you came to the Lord. It's all dried up and dead, putrefied, ugly. You lost most of it. But God knows where you put it. He knows where you put that faith. And you know what? If you come to God with just that little bit of faith and ask Him to restore it, He'll find those faiths that you've laid out there and He'll give them back to you. And as you remember them, you thank Him and He comes back. And then pretty soon you've got a big hunk of faith. Isn't that simple? Just take the faith you have. And then one day, maybe they'll be writing about your faith. Who was it? Was it James that said faith without works is dead? The church is full of people out here that says they have faith, but where are their works? And they say, oh, well, we have the soup kitchen and we do this. He's not talking about those kind of works. You go over and read that thing in James. And He says, look, if a person comes to you naked, destitute, and hungry, and you say, go away filled and be warm and happy, and you don't feed them and clothe them, what are your words worth? Nothing. Not worth anything. In the same manner, if you say you have faith and you don't have the works of God, your words aren't anything. Now, Paul's sitting up there in the radio room, and he's heard this, and he's heard it, and he sweated over it, and he meandered over it, and groaned over it, wandered about it. But finally, you know, he hung in. That's the secret. You got to hang in. Jacob wouldn't turn Jesus loose till he got a blessing. Amen? Wouldn't turn him loose till he got a blessing. That's the way you've got to be. You've got to grab hold of God's word and grab hold of His promise, and you don't turn it loose. You're just like a bulldog. You get on that promise and you don't turn it loose. And that doesn't mean you keep asking for it. Lord, would you do this? Lord, would you do this? Lord, you don't keep asking for it. Now here, Jeannie, you've got a little girl. If your little girl says to you, Mommy, Can you take me to the store and buy me a candy bar? And maybe you're in a good mood and you say, yes, I will. Alright? If she came back 5 minutes later and said, Mommy, would you take me to the store and buy me a candy bar? Your words would probably be something along the lines, I told you I would. Now don't bother me. I'll take you. Huh? Isn't that about it? And if she came back another 5 minutes and said, Mommy, would you take me to the store? No. That would be about the answer she'd get, isn't it? No. I told you twice I'd do it, and I'm not going to go now because you wouldn't believe me. Am I pretty close? I've never heard you do it, but I feel the Lord knows, so. Well, don't you think God would do that with you? Lord, would you do so-and-so with me? Yeah, I'll do it. So-and-so in my word, I'll do it. Lord, would you do something for me? Said I'd do it. Oh, Lord, would you do it? No, I ain't going to do it till you learn to believe me. Huh? That's not how you hang on to a promise. How you hang on to a promise is you say, Lord, your word says you give me the desires of my heart. I want this. I need it. Would you give it to me? I thank you for it. And then you hold on to that. You don't ask for it again. You just keep thanking him. You keep thanking him.